This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to the BrizNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully for your hour, HRRN Nation, to talk about whatever you'd like in the world of racing. The phone number to get in, 888-966-4776, 888-966-4776. James, did you ever think that you would live in a world where the number one rated horse in the country is Art Collector?
No, I did not. And I thought that the Pegasus World Cup might be his last start. I mean, I thought he was sort of past his prime in a sense, Bobby, but he proved me wrong. You know, one thing about him is you can go back to his three-year-old season when he was trained by Tommy Drury. And yeah, you could say in that Bluegrass Stakes win, he showed a little bit of ability to be a push button rally from just off the pace. But in eight stakes appearances for Bill Mott, every time he didn't make the lead, he just sort of chucked it. And he didn't appear to be in form, I didn't think, but he proved me wrong and ran a big race.
Yeah, he ran a big race under Junior Alvarado, who very happily and luckily was the recipient of that mount. Of course, Luis Saez, the regular rider, and there was a big story beforehand how that for Kieran McLaughlin, this was probably the toughest decision he's had to make as an agent. And you know what? A lot of times these guys make the right decisions. This time it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was easy if you had seen that story about it. It was easy to feel for Kieran McLaughlin. Luis Saez had been riding the horse consistently, and he took off him, and Art Collector ran a career best performance. Really showed a sharp turn of foot, rallying to clear a lead and upper stretch off the far turn, and won in hand. Looks good for him. It's not a really deep division of older horses. You have Taba on the West Coast, but outside, east of the Mississippi, it's not a real deep division. And Art Collector, you would think would have a good year.
Yeah, I do think that he's got a chance to have a good year. And you can kind of say that about everyone who's in that division right now, because you say, well, who do they have to run against? They don't have to run against Flightline. They don't have to run against Olympia. They don't have to run against Epicenter. They don't have to run, Hot Rod Charlie, or just insert name here of Life is Good, of horses that they don't have to run against right now. My guess, I was a little surprised, and I don't take too much into it with early season polls. I was surprised that Taba was not rated ahead of Art Collector by the voters at this point. I think if they ran against each other, Taba would be solidly favored over Art Collector. But Art Collector ran really well last time out. And I guess the question going forward is this the new Art Collector? Is this what we expect from him going forward? Or was that race kind of that was good. We'll see what happens next time if he doesn't regress.
Well, typically in that kind of situation, I want to see it again. I still like him a little bit dubious. I mean, I won't be surprised, obviously. That's a big performance. But I wasn't a big believer in Art Collector going into the race. Like I said, he proved me wrong. I was completely wrong about him. But I'm not just going to buy into that. He's going to continue to carry that forward and. You know, I mean, to me, if he gets in a stakes race where he's the lone speed, then yeah, he can, but I want to sort of see him do that again. Don't you, Bobby?
I definitely want to see him do it again. And the question is, who is he going to do it against? Because he's not going to have to face Cyberknife next time out. I was disappointed in Proxy. He looked like he wasn't running at all most of the way around the track. And I didn't realize it until after I saw the chart that he actually finished fifth. I had kind of given up on him by the time they got to the quarter pole, and he must have passed half the field down the stretch, but he looked like he wasn't interested at all the first part of the race. He's another horse that I thought had a chance of a big 2023, but he didn't start it off too well in the Pegasus.
I agree. He sort of sucked up late to be fit, that he was no factor, coming off the turn, never really had a chance. And I'll tell you, though, they interviewed one of his connections from Godolphin before the race, and he was talking about how he was worried the track configuration wouldn't fit him, and it was just sort of like a bad vibe. I heard multiple people mention that you know, it didn't sound like they were too, like, they were very bullish. They were confident coming into the race.
Let's go out to the phones. Paul in Connecticut, you've got Bobby and James on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Guys, normally I'm not the first guy to call, but I have very strong, and I'm going to emphasize, opinions on that race and those 12 runners that I'll be clear on. I wrote something publicly that keyed proxy with four others in a superfecta, namely the next four after, coupled with proxy after Art Collector. And my rationale was fairly simple, that the horses based in Florida at Gulfstream, three Safi Joseph, although one was from Chile, and that other one from Sano, were complete toss-outs. They're grossly overrated horses, and those trainers are grossly overrated contextually in the morning line. That's my opinion, obviously. So I do agree on Art Collector. I never thought he would make it there. Now, I've been going at it with a few people on this, but I don't want to get into the weeds too much because I tend to. But the invitational aspect to this, if Joseph has three runners in a $3 million race, and I've been really emphasizing this, how come we don't have others in there, the conditions to get in? Could you clarify that? That's my first question. How did he get three of the runners in this $3 million race?
Well, first of all, it's an invitational race. And since the people doing the inviting are the ones that operate that racetrack and he's there year-round, I'm guessing that helps a little bit.
Okay, second point, that in the context of the morning line, I immediately thought Baffert could have lone speed and not be challenged. Okay, and he was 6-1, and one of Joseph's horses was 5-1, which is an absurd thing. He went off 5-2, which gets into the bias of the morning line. We've had this discussion one time. Morning line guys aren't really as good sometimes as we think they are. And you know this is a subjective point completely. So I guess it ties back to Art Collector. That field had three losers in Joseph horses, conditions-wise, in my opinion, that were invited, that were way over their head, and Sano's horse was too. So now we're down to 8, and who did he really beat? He beat a second stringer from Baffert, and the two horses that I put in the super, I backed into by default because I figured Lucas always might show up, and Stiletto Boy does have a good record, and he did come in third last year. So when you say, how could he be that good, you're absolutely correct. He met a weak, I don't care what the number is, he met a weak field. He was, I think he's 5 now, and I'm going to say one last thing. Bruce Lunsford is a class act. He used to be on the Breeders' Cup committee. Bill Mott stands tall, and I'm so glad that classy people won the big race against what I'm clarifying as second stringers. So maybe I created some controversy. That's about it, okay?
Well, we appreciate the Paul call, and there's certainly the opinions that you have, I think, are shared by plenty of other people out there. Maybe they're just not calling and saying publicly. But listen, James, Paul's got some valid points in there. I think long and short of what he's saying is this was not the strongest Pegasus field in history.
No, and Art Collector didn't fire. He didn't run his race. I thought Defunded ran his race. I agree with you know, the sentiments about Bruce Lunsford and Bill Mott. I'm happy for them, and I'm happy they won. I mean, I respect the heck out of them. But I don't think that Defunded is just some second-string bum. I think he had sort of, you know, come on a little bit, you know, and over his last 4 or 5 races. And, you know, like I mentioned, you know, it's not a deep group of older horses. I think he's better than – I think Country Grammar has been retired. I think he's the second-best older horse in Baffert's barn. And, you know, he's going to win a lot of races that Taba isn't in. Out west, you would think, depending on, you know, who ships in and such. Because he's going pretty good right now to Funded.
I thought it was interesting. I mentioned this on the previous show. I had a friend who was at Oaklawn for the weekend, and he sent me a picture that he took from the hotel at Oaklawn Park of Bob Baffert, John Velasquez, and Flavian Pratt with their roller boards in tow as they were heading off to the Hot Springs Airport, I would assume for a private jet to fly back to Southern California. Bob Baffert ran Defunded in the $3 million Pegasus. He ran favorites in both stakes at Santa Anita, but he shows up at Oaklawn for the Southwest Stakes and Arabian Night, a horse that very likely will not be in his barn for the next few months after this. You think that might mean that he likes Arabian Night a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I, you know, I think it was his sixth Southwest win. He's won that race a bunch of times. I think he had not been there since 2011, though. To Oaklawn Park. So yeah, I think it's strictly because of the horse, and he thinks he's special, and he ran a huge race. I was really impressed by him.
Yeah, we were treated to some good racing last week, and whether you think that the Pegasus was, you know, the strongest Pegasus that they've ever had or not, it was still a good race. I thought it was a very good betting race simply because there wasn't a flight line in it, or you know, recent years, Life is Good or Nick's Go or horses like Arrogate several years back. You know, the fact that Cyberknife is the favorite in the race, I'm not trying to make this as a slight to him, although it's going to probably sound that way. Cyberknife is not a name that's going to scare everybody. He's a very good horse, and when he runs his good races, which are more often than not, he's going to beat a field like what he saw this last Saturday. He didn't run his best race this last Saturday, and he's not a horse that anyone's going to be overly scared of. So I thought it made it out to be a good betting race, as it seems like Paul thought as well. I thought Proxy was a horse that had a huge shot at a fair price from what I thought was a good post position. And he just was terrible that day. I don't know what to do. He was terrible that day, almost as bad as Obligatory was in the inside information earlier. Two of them that it never looked at any point like they were interested in running.
Obligatory has not run her best. I mean, she's run her best races. You know, she had run well at Gulfstream, was unbeaten there, and she just came back with a clunker. She was just way too far back and made little impact. I will say this, though. I agree with what you were saying before about it being a good betting race. But one horse I think that took, and Paul referenced it, was Defunded, took all that money. And I think a lot of his supporters were expecting him with Irad Ortiz, who got off Skippy Longstock in off of a win, were expecting Defunded to flash right to the front and lead wire to wire. So I thought it was interesting. Stiletto Boy, who was breaking from post 11 and was 45-1. And, you know, there were other speed horses as well as Defunded, but it just looked like he could have been the speed of the speed with Irad Ortiz. He beat him to the lead, and I think compromised, you know, him a little bit. Now, I'm not saying he would have still beaten our Art Collector, but perhaps he could have run a little, you know, it would have been interesting to see what Defunded would have done if he'd been out there just dictating the pace by himself.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we saw in the Southwest, start previewing the big races coming up this weekend. We were supposed to have 3 points qualifiers on the road to the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. Then it became 2, and then it became 1 for one reason or the other. We'll discuss that. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? TheBristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free past performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet, with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth on March 4th and Florida Derby on April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from Carousel Club or feast in Ten Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stakes schedules, reservations, and tickets, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Pena brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the BristNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. BristNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. James, we touched on it briefly in the first segment, but the lone points qualifier last weekend on the road to the Kentucky Derby was that $750,000 Southwest Stakes. Since Arabian Night ended up winning the race, nobody got the 20 points that the winner was eligible to get. All the second, third, fourth, and fifth place finishers were eligible to earn points, and they will move forward with that. But Arabian Night, certainly the talk of the town as far as it goes there in Hot Springs and shipping back to his home base in Southern California. Reports are that he came out of the race well. Bob Baffert playing it very close to the vest as far as what they're going to do with Arabian Night next. And it might have something to do with the fact that he's got about 20 good three-year-olds right now. And I'm not exaggerating. He had 14 of the 16 that were nominated to this weekend's Robert B. Lewis Stakes. So Bob does probably have 20 very good three-year-olds in his barn at least, but Arabian Night may be the best of those three-year-olds. I guess the question is, do we think that he runs for Bob Baffert again? Or because he could actually run back in the Rebel, I think it's February 25th or 26th, whatever the last weekend of February is, maybe the 25th, and go, you know, and then transfer after that. Or if he stays for, you know, if he goes to the San Felipe the week after at Santa Anita, if he wanted to earn Derby points, he'd have to be in somebody else's name. What do you think happens with Arabian Night next? Just your best guess.
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, my best guess is, you know, I mean, you're spending $2.3 million to purchase him, and you know, I think they want to win the Kentucky Derby with them. So I think my best guess is, yeah, he, if you know, barring Baffert, I haven't seen that court ruling today yet either, Bobby. Maybe we can talk. I don't know if you've got an update on that. But if Baffert's suspended, then, yeah, my guess would be he gets transferred to another trainer. But I'm not 100, you know, I don't have a feel for that. I haven't heard any information one way or another what would happen in that situation. And as far as his three-year-olds go, you're right. I mean, it's still early. It's late January, early February. But to me, Arabian Night, I mean, he's like a mile ahead of all of his other three-year-olds. And you could say, based on that race, granted it was on a sloppy track and he led wire to wire, but I came away from that race thinking he could really be special. And I think he's the best three-year-old to train in right now.
Do you think he ran better in winning the Southwest than he did in breaking his maiden at Keeneland?
He didn't run better on figures, but yes, I did. I thought he won way more. You know, the race at Keeneland was pretty straightforward, and I thought he was like, you can watch that. I watched that replay several times, and it looks like he gets a little bit, like, disinterested, like he's looking around in the stretch, and when, like, Velasquez gives him, like, a tap to get his attention, the response was immediate. Like, he had, like, perhaps multiple gears left in reserve. So I thought that was very exciting. Just the way he won with such ease really, you know, gets you excited. I'm a little concerned by Baffert's comments afterwards. They're sort of indicating that he thinks the horse needs more time between races than normal. Maybe that's just the way the flight line method. But that's sort of the atypical Baffert method. You know, he doesn't, like, take these horses and not train them hard and run them in races to get ready for these the Triple Crown event.
Yeah, it's very odd. And by the way, just because Bob said that doesn't 100% make it true.
I'm
not just saying that about Bob. I'm saying that about people in general. You know, people say one thing, it doesn't necessarily make it so. It's just the way it is. If that was the way it is, then nobody would be playing No Limit Poker, which is unbelievably popular for the, you know, 20th year in a row now. Let's go out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis. You've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys. How are you this evening?
What's going on, Tom?
Well, good. Missed the first 10 minutes of the show. I'll catch it on the podcast. But I was actually going to call in to say what James was just talking about and you guys were talking about. Y'all are talking about Arabian Night. I thought he looked much better in the career debut than he did in that race the other day. And maybe it was because of the mud. I don't know. That race on Breeders' Cup Day obviously made you think, why didn't they run this horse in the juvenile the day before as opposed to that? And people were really talking about it. I just didn't see there was a lot of improvement from that race last November to what I saw last Saturday. And maybe I looked at it wrong. Maybe it was the mud. Maybe I was just expecting more. I don't know. Obviously I don't understand, you know, what an owner would do and why he would have a horse after January 1 with a trainer that there's a possibility you'd have to shift the horse if you're going to transfer barns. I always think it's better to do it sooner rather than later, just, you know, on things like that. I guess my other comment, I don't want to be negative. First of all, I don't think Proxy handled the racetrack at all, Bobby. That was actually my selection in that race. Good to see an old Ellis Park horse win the Pegasus in a big race like this. And, guys, I don't want to be negative when I say this, and I'm probably biased because I'm more of a racetracker than I am a socialite. I don't understand the attraction with the Stronach tracks and trying to make racetracks a nightclub. I understand with the Preakness, it's kind of the ugly duckling of the Triple Crown, so you have the infield with a concert and you do what you can to do things. Looking at Mark Iverone, an owner that won the Kentucky Derby in a suit without a shirt the other day, it almost just turned my stomach that much, and I don't want to be a negative. Great that he stayed in the game. Great that he had a horse. Great that he entered it in the field and all of that kind of stuff. Great that the sport tries to find new fans. But this idea of making the Carousel Club a nightclub and spending probably 35% of the time on the NBC telecast talking like it's the circular racetrack version of Studio 54, it just really left me with a bad taste in my mouth for the event. And maybe I'm a little biased against it because, you know, they claim to be the biggest, richest race in the world and made you buy in for $1 million. But that's just not what we need to make this sport well. There's so many other good stories and so many good people in this sport that I wish NBC would have spent 10 minutes talking about that instead. And it's just my two cents, guys, and probably more opinionated tonight than I usually am, but that just really, I don't want to say ruined the day for me the other day, but it really just kind of turned it back. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for the job you do.
Appreciate the call, Tom. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to get out of my bounds with this, but there is a very good chance when it comes to shows like this that the reason that the network is putting the show on is because the venue has paid them to do so. And if that is the case, and it happens a lot, obviously they're going to put out content that the venue wants them to put out. And in this case, it could be promoting the Carousel Club or things like that. Yeah, there's some strange stuff that has happened there. I mean, they have a what is that, a 40 how tall is the Pegasus statue that's in the parking lot there that really nobody, I mean, literally nobody.
And a band was playing right in front of it, and it's right next to the track, so those horses were walking right by the band while they were jamming, right? In the post parade, is that right? Or
that is true. So the Carousel Club, which, by the way, is very nice at Gulfstream. They did a nice job. It was just kind of a tiki bar, you know, tent area that had a bar and some and betting carols and things like that. Not betting carols, but betting machines. And they've tried to make more use out of it. And it's actually very nice right there. I wish some of the fairways that I try to hit onto were as nice as the turf that's in the Carousel Club over at Gulfstream. But, you know, these big days, it's they charge a lot of money to go to the track on that day. I don't know if you haven't been there on Pegasus Day, it's an expensive day. It's not a day for the everyday race fan who likes to go to general admission and stand out on the apron kind of a thing. It's a day where I think it might be $100 for general admission. At least that's what it was a few years ago. It's an expensive day. You know, a table in the restaurant, which normally would be like a $35 cover charge per person, is now $250 a seat that includes the buffet. The Christine Lee's, which is the steakhouse and Chinese food that it used to be in Gulfstream, it's now right outside the paddock, they were charging either $200 or $250 a person for lunch to sit in Christine Lee's and watch the races on TV. You can't even see the track. So it's a different kind of day, and the fact that they're putting the entertainment out there and trying to make a big deal of that, and whether they're getting Snoop Dogg or whoever they're getting on different years to call riders up and to play and things like that. It's, you know, they're charging a lot. They're trying to put the product out there. For those of us who like to just bet the races and we're diving into our past performances, and by the way, in between races, maybe looking at Oaklawn and Aqueduct and Santa Anita and Fairgrounds and things like that, like I am and like James probably is, and it sounds like Tech Tom it is. Yeah, we don't care about all that stuff. But they're doing it for people that are not us. So.
Exactly. They already have our demographic. They're trying to build their brand and find new fans. And, you know, I mean, you might criticize, you know, how they do that. But the fact that they're doing so, they're not marketing the event per se to us or to a different audience, doesn't surprise me at all. That's just the way these big events go. This is the way these tracks go. You know, they want more like VIP like areas where people are willing to spend big money and not only just watch the races, be there for a social event.
Let's go back out to the phones. Doug in Florida, you've got Bobby and James on the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby and James, nice talking with you today.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hello.
I'm originally from Saratoga Springs, New York. Born and raised, grown up there. Grew up with that great track there. Worked with the horses. I've owned a couple. I raced one at Saratoga. And I went to Gulfstream back in the days when they used to have the old grandstands. And a buddy of mine used to be a chauffeur for Ms. Payson. And we got to go to the track and sit in her box, the old grandstands at Gulfstream, when I thought it was really a beautiful track. And it just seems like Stronach has gone out of their way to commercialize these things. They pretty much closed Calder and Hialeah down. Now Arlington's gone. And I just get a little disappointed that, you know, they say they're doing this in the name of saving racing, but then they have a big day and they charge, like you said, it was $75 to get in to the Pegasus. I'm 3 hours away from Gulfstream and go there quite a bit. But I'm not going to pay $75 to walk in the door to bet my money on their horses. Same reason I didn't go to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup, or I didn't go to Keeneland this year because they're charging $75. But yet when they have it at Santa Anita, they only charge $25 to get in on Saturday. It just gets to be a little frustrating.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer, and I don't think that's going away, Doug. And we appreciate it. How often do you go to the track here in Florida?
I go to Tampa Bay Downs pretty much every weekend. I get down to Gulfstream probably 6, 8, 10 times a year. But like I say, I'm originally from Saratoga, and you go to the backyard there, and it's an unbelievable. I truly believe it is the most beautiful track in the country. And they only charge you $5 to get in. You can bring your cooler in. You just can't have glass, and you go out in the backyard and you have your picnic. And Gulfstream has just got pushed those people away, and everything is now upstairs in the restaurant. You got to pay to sit there and all this. The only last place is the tiki bar at the top of the stretch, which is pretty nice. But that used to be down where the horses came out, and they decided to commercialize that too. So I know you guys have nothing to say over that, and I, you know, it's just that it's tough. I'm going to be 60 this year. I've been going to the track since I was 11. I used to muck stalls at the harness track in Saratoga, and then hot walked for Jonathan Shepherd and Angel Penna back in the day at Saratoga. And, you know, I've been around forever, and it's just, you know, these big days, they're not bringing new fans in. They're just marketing themselves and trying to get more money. They need to get the younger fans into racing, and by doing that, you can't charge $75 to walk in the door.
Well, we appreciate your call, Doug. Thank you so much. James, I don't think I don't think this is going to go away. I think the fact that they get as many people as they get on these days shows that what they're doing is working. And the fact of the matter is that Tom or Doug or you or I, they have us, as you said. And we have the benefit now, as opposed to 30 and 40 years ago, where if we don't like something, if we don't want to actually be physically at the track that day, hey, we can probably bet on our phones, our laptops, or our desktops just as easily on any one of, you know, whichever ADW you're using. Or in a case like Doug was saying, he can hop over to Tampa Bay Downs. He could go to Palm Beach Kennel Club and play there. He could go to Pompano Park. There are several other options for you to still enjoy the racing without, you know, being gouged at the gates.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Gulfstream's not a big venue as well. It's not like going to Santa Anita where you can get 80 or 90,000 people. I don't know how many, or 70 or 80,000 people in there at Santa Anita. You can get it like, I think they've capped the attendance at 50,000, like on Traverse Day. Thanks for the call, Doug. I'll tell you, they've raised that general admission to $7 at Saratoga, too. I was just up there last year. But, you know, I think so. That's a little bit with Gulfstream. I mean, how many people do they get in their full capacity, Bobby? They've greatly reduced the size of the you know, just the viewing areas to watch races there.
Yeah, that's for sure. The old grandstand, for if you just wanted to, you know, go watch the races without, you know, paying to get into a turf club or something like that, which was much more friendly. They've tried to make it into more of an entertainment venue, and obviously they've got the shopping mall out there and restaurants and things like that, and they've tried to turn it into a little more of an upscale thing. Some of it has worked, some of it hasn't, but, you know, on Pegasus Day, they charge a premium, and I understand what Doug's coming from, but thankfully we have the options to enjoy that card without actually you know, being down several hundred dollars before we sit down and place our first bet. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk about what's coming up over at Brisnet and Twin Spires. We've got James's best bet of the weekend coming up. Phone lines remain open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Houston's Live Thoroughbred Meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. The meet is highlighted by the Houston Racing Festival on Saturday, January 28th, Texas Preview Day on February 18th, and Texas Champions Day, March 25th. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Perfect Drip. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Phone lines are open. Give us a call if you'd like. 888-966-4776. James, we've got some three-year-old preps coming up this weekend, starting in Florida with the Holy Bull. As it turns out, it's going to be the only points qualifier for the three-year-olds this weekend. We thought we were going to have three, but now we actually only have one, and it is that aforementioned Holy Bull. It's the final race on a 12-race card Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Mile and a 16th the distance for the three-year-olds. Field of eight going to post in the race. Morning line favorite Cyclone Mischief coming off an impressive allowance win.
Yes, and I think Cyclone Mischief will be a solid favorite at post time as well. I thought that was a very, you know, it was. I thought he had a little bit of a weird trip, and I mean, he just folded his tent quickly in that Kentucky Jockey Club, and it certainly wasn't very encouraging because it wasn't a fast race, and he's out there on a slow pace and wound up finishing seventh. But complete, like, turnaround, opening January, his three-year-old season, and that one-turn mile allowance. He won going away by open lens that day and came home in a fast time. So I think he's going to be a solid favorite in that race. I think his main rival, in my estimation, perhaps our listeners might disagree, is that Rocket Can. I have a little bit of concern about some of those runners coming back from the Mucho Macho Man. They might prove me wrong, but I think this Rocket Can making a stakes debut for Belmont in the Mischief Colt's a little bit interesting from the far outside.
Does it worry you at all that Cyclone Mischief's best race by far, speed figure wise, was his lone race when he was running on Lasix, and he does not get the benefit of Lasix this Saturday?
Yes, it does. And I'm just not, like, I mean, I look at him and I worry, you know, he ran so well last time at a mile. I'm not real keen on him stretching back out in a mile and a 16th. Maybe it'll be no big deal. I mean, I'm not too keen on backing him stretching back out to mile 16th at, like, real short odds. I would like to try to beat him, and Rocket Cam would be the most likely alternate. But it really puzzled me, Bobby, how, you know, entry level allowance on the undercard race 8, and I think both Pletcher horses, Shesterkin and Tappet Trice, would be contenders in this Holy Bull. None of the 8 entrants in the Holy Bull have won a stakes race. It's one of the weakest, like, additions I can remember in years past, and it just sort of, like, just like, I would have loved to have seen Pletcher run those 2 horses in race 8 in this stakes instead.
Let's go out to the phones. Charles in Mississippi, who's now I assume heading to Hot Springs.
I'm going to wait and go in the morning, Bobby. But, you know, what y'all are talking about here about horses and stuff, go back, James, and look at what they did with Smarty Jones. Smarty Jones ran in those races in Pennsylvania. Then on January 3rd of 2004, he won the Count Fleet at, I believe, at Aqueduct. Then he comes to Oaklawn Park, wins the Southwest, the Rebel, the Arkansas Derby, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness. And damn well should have won the Triple Crown, okay? I mean, just ran out of gas right there on stretch, just like me. A lot of times I run out of gas in the stretch. But, you know, it happens, guys. It happens. It happens. But, you know, these three-year-olds will sort themselves out. The only one, you know, the Baffert horse is the only one I saw. And I think one of the Pletcher horses, I can't remember which name he is. I kind of like the way he strides and stuff. But that'll all come out in the wash, won't it, Bobby?
Yeah, it seems like it always does. It's unbelievable to me how dominant Baffert's horses are as far as the three-year-olds in Southern California. Did you read the story, Charles, that of the 16 nominees for the Robert B. Lewis this Saturday, 14 were Baffert runners?
That's not surprising. Well, I mean, really, the state of California racing is Bob Baffert, Bobby. Bob Baffert. Right? And he has a pseudo connection to the state of Arkansas. I mean,
Charles. I mean, like what Bobby was saying, I've never seen a stakes race just be so dominated by one trainer. It's incredible how many 3-year-olds he has.
He's got all the best horses. I mean, he's got the biggest money and the best horses. He's like Schwarzenegger, baby. He's a Leviathan. You know, he's a nation unto himself, isn't he? I mean, it's Bob Baffert and everybody else. I mean, he's a nation to himself. And he sends out a Arabian Night, plucks that $750,000 over there at Oaklawn Park. He'll put him. You know, what do they run the Rebel for? $1.25 million. You know, I mean, they run it for big money. You know, and he's calling the shots. He's calling the shots. You know, and it is what it is. You know, Vince in Buffalo is one of the smartest guys that calls into the show. You know, last week he called in, and he said he was really upset about the racing at Aqueduct. you know, how thin it was. Do you realize I played all four cards at Aqueduct? You know how many horses I played, how many races I played at Aqueduct out of 4 days last week?
Three.
One race. No, one. That Timeless Journey, I had him on my morning line at 3-1. They let him go off at 6-1, and I played him, and that was Thursday. Only race I could play. All, I mean, you know, because, I mean, if you play Turfway or Oakland Park, you're going to have to do a lot of studying, Bobby. You're going to have to do a lot of it. I mean, you're not just going to pick up your PPs and hammer out, you know, whatever you're doing. It just takes a lot of studying, and, you know, and you just, if you want to be successful, you know. But it's all this is sorting itself out, you know. And now the state of Texas, I have, you know, all that ironed out. So everything's all right now. It'll work itself out. You know,
well, Charles, we appreciate your call, and looking forward to seeing you when I get up to Arkansas in a month and a half, my friend.
James, you be good, brother.
All right, we're going to go from Charles in Mississippi to Charles in Hot Springs, believe it or not. Charles, welcome to the show. You've got Bobby and James.
Thank you, Bobby. I wanted to give tell you my opinion of Arabian Knight. I was at Oakland, saw him in a paddock. He's sleek. He's athletic. He's long. Looking at the other horses in that field, they all big back end, short sprinters. And the last horse that I saw that looked like him that came through Oakland was American Pharoah. He's got that same build, and it's athletic. It's kind of like Hoosier Philly. I haven't seen her up close, but I've seen her in pictures, in videos of her before her race. But I want to talk about that, and I also want to say one of my favorite horses coming up is Charge It, running this Sunday in an allowance. In the Kentucky Derby, he had a displaced palate, and that he didn't. They pulled him up and didn't finish good. They had a surgery for that. He won that 1 mile race this summer, had a high rating, and now his had ankle problems. But Todd's saying this last week the ankle's behind him, and he's ready to go. And this allowance race, it looks like a paid workout. And after that, there's a mile race, Oakland Mile, that's 400,000. There's the Essex. There's the Razorback. There's the Oakland Handicap. So he's got a place to come to and show off what he can do. I think he's going to be your next rising star this year as Charge It. And I'll hang up and listen.
We appreciate your call, Charles. And I'll tell you what, Charge It's a horse, James, that Charles is right. This horse has a chance to be one of the most exciting horses of 2023. Unfortunately, he seems a little bit fragile in that they can't keep him on the racetrack too long. When he shows up, though, he's really good.
Yes, no doubt about it. Last year, I think he was also, you know, he made a belated career debut, like you mentioned, hasn't run a lot. And he was just a little immature, a little bit green, but he was he's like a physical specimen, Charge It is. And I think he's very exciting. And Charles hit it on the head after he won that Dwyer by 20-plus lengths last summer. Everybody was looking forward to seeing Charge It square off again against Epicenter in the Traverse Stakes. And unfortunately, he had that foot issue. He couldn't make it. He got the rest of the year off. So, yeah, when we were talking, I was talking about older horses earlier, and I didn't mention Charge It, but I hope he can come back, and I hope he can stay healthy. I mean, that's a big issue for him. If he can, like Pletcher suggested, if those ankle issues are behind him, then it's a good sign.
All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we need to get James's best bet for the weekend. It's the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's BrizNet.com call-in show. Phone line still open. 888-966-4776 is the number. James, before we get to your best bet, any specials going on this weekend at BrizNet or Twin Spires?
Yeah, I just want to mention that we're going to have free pass performances for all the Kentucky Derby qualifying races leading up to the Kentucky Derby. So, like the Holy Bull at Gulfstream, if you go to BrizNet's like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram account, we'll have links to free PPs. And just mention, you know, we have lots of handicapping and value added products available on the website at Twin Spires. I want to encourage you all Twin Spires members to opt in for the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep race competition, $100,000 competition, pays 100 places. It just got started about a month ago, so there's plenty of time to get in now and earn prizes, come Derby time. So check those out at Twin Spires and BrizNet.com.
James, we're getting near the end of the show. That means it's time for your best bet of the weekend. Where are we going, my friend?
We're going to go to Oaklawn Park. I'm going to take a shot in race four. It's a three-year-old filly, allowance optional claimer at a mile. I like a price source in here. Number five, Juniors Joni, 12-1 with Christian Torres. I thought that, you're familiar with this horse, broke her maiden at Prairie Meadows. I thought, you know, that was a solid third last time to a nice horse, Classy Bridgette. I think she has one main rival in there, the seven horse, Strikingly Spun, who's going to be the favorite. But I think Juniors Joni will benefit from that experience and move forward with a strong showing and a price.
All right, that's fourth race on Saturday at Oaklawn Park. Goes at 2:03 Central Time. Number five, Juniors Joni, who's 12-1 on the morning line for Kenny Smith and Christian Torres, coming off a nice third place finish behind Classy Bridgette, going 6 furlongs, stretching out for the first time by Cloud Computing out of a Pleasant Tap mare. So certainly there's reason to believe that maybe she should be able to handle the stretch out to a mile, see what kind of trip she gets. Nice price, 12-1. On the morning line. Mentioned a little bit that we thought we were going to have three Kentucky Derby preps this weekend. We've got the Holy Bull coming up on Saturday at Gulfstream, part of another mega race day at Gulfstream Park. It's the last of five stakes on the card. Santa Anita's got four stakes on Saturday, including the Robert B. Lewis. There's only a field of four, and all of them are Bob Baffert trainees, which means nobody has a chance at any of the Derby qualifying points. Did you look at the race, though? It's actually, for a four-horse field, not cut and dry.
It's not, and I did look at the race, and I leaned towards Newgate. I thought that was an improved runner-up effort off the layoff last time. I think Arabian Lion's a little bit vulnerable at a short price. You know, Worcester would be my second pick, perhaps, but he's still a maiden. I'm a little bit leery. He could scratch out. It could just be a field of three, Bobby, because he's still a maiden, but he appears to have something going for him as well.
All right, is it Worcester or Worcester?
Worcester, yeah, you're right, Worcester.
I don't know. I know there's a Worcester, Mass, but there's a Worcester something else. I know there's a sauce called Worcestershire, which is, I know it's not any of those. I'm going with Worcester. I actually think the maiden Worcester has a chance in that field. The inside three are all low in the morning line. John White thinking that the four is really the only one that would be an upset in the field. And then the third Derby prep that we thought we were going to be talking about is the Withers, but unfortunately it's part of the Saturday card at Aqueduct that has already been canceled due to the expected very cold weather coming to New York tomorrow. They've canceled the Friday and Saturday cards at Aqueduct. The Withers is actually going to be run next weekend, so we'll talk about it during next week's shows as part of another big mega stakes Saturday. They're going to have the Withers on Saturday, the Sam F. Davis next a week from Saturday, and Golden Gates Lone Derby qualifier, the El Camino Real Derby, which goes on Saturday the 11th as well. So with the exception, I think, of one Saturday going forward, and I think it's March 18th, every weekend between now and the final Derby points qualifier, which traditionally is the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland, we've got at least one points qualifier on the road to the Derby. And you know what? It couldn't have come at a better time, because unlike last year where we're sitting there and laying in wait and thinking, you know, dreams of Flight Line against Life Is Good, maybe in the Met Mile, you know, in the middle of the year and looking forward to some of these big older horses, it's a little bit shaky on the older horse scene right now. So it's good that we've got a lot of three-year-olds to talk about.
Yes, it is. And that one day that one Saturday when there isn't a Derby qualifier, that's actually the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, so I don't mind not having to have a little bit of time to watch all the games.
So that's actually the weekend that I will be at Oaklawn Park. I'm going to do the shows from Oaklawn Park that week, and I will be there that Saturday. I think they've got the Whitmore that day, and they've got one other graded stake that day, obviously not for the three-year-olds. And the good news is they now have a sports betting at Oaklawn Park. They have a full casino at Oaklawn, and it's phenomenal. So I'm sure the lines will be backed up, not only to bet the horses, but to bet the sports, if that indeed is opening week of the NCAA tournament. I'm going to say this, James. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to do it. I've been two opening days in person to watch games where you watch like four games in one day. There's a early session where they go at like 12:15 and then maybe again at 2:45, and then you have a 2-hour break and they come back at like 7:15 and 9:45 at night. Even if it's teams you don't care about, it's one of the most fun things you'll go to, just sitting there, because eventually you're going to be rooting for somebody, whether you have money on the game or not. If you ever have a chance to go to one of those opening round deals for the NCAA tournament, you should do it.
No doubt about it. I've been there for those games many times at Rupp Arena in Lexington. I've even been at the FedEx Forum down in Memphis with a good friend of mine watching those games. And like you said, back-to-back games like that are a lot of fun. And, you know, that's just, you know, you're right. There's going to be long lines betting in those games. I've been out of Vegas. It's always a popular time at the sportsbook.
By the way, one of the years I was at one in Tucson, Arizona, and number one ranked UNLV back in the late 80s, against the 16 seed Montana. So Montana comes out in these brown uniforms, and they look like they're even a high school team wouldn't wear. You know, they're just crappy. You know, don't look like high budget uniforms. And here comes UNLV in these red satin warm up pants, and they're wearing shirts with a picture of a seat belt on the front, and on the back it says "Buckle Up." And this is with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augman and Anderson Hunt and all the, you know, these guys.
Yeah.
They were it looked like the game was over before it started. Let's put it that way. All right.
Yeah, those are exciting teams.
Yeah, they certainly were. Well, whether it's NCAA basketball or horse racing, a lot of excitement coming up. We are glad to be part of it. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on the BrisNet.com call-in show. Reminder, a full day tomorrow, Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then the weekend stakes preview, Dave Friedman joins me from 6 to 7 p.m. as we look at a dozen races taking place this weekend. Have a great night, everybody.